Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we read in Haggai chapter 1, we recognize that in verse 2, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. It's often a familiar refrain as we hear that also in our society and in the world around us, maybe even in our own hearts at times. It's just not the right time. We may consider something to be a very worthy cause, but we conclude it's just not the right time. And sometimes there's validity to that statement. God in His providence reminds us that sometimes it's not the right time to do this or to do that. But many times when we say this, that it's not the right time, it's in the same spirit as Judah here in the days of Haggai the prophet. And it's with the spirit of not having our priorities properly aligned. And because of our misplaced priorities, we say it's not the right time because God's kingdom is not priority number one in our lives. The prophecy of Haggai could be summarized in Matthew 6, verse 33, where Jesus reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you." Priority number one must be to seek God and his kingdom and his righteousness. In other words, kingdom work must be number one priority for those who are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people are saying it's not the right time. Is that what we say in 2023? At Maranatha, FRC. I'd like to look at this with the theme, kingdom work. Is it the right time? We'll see, first of all, that the people say it isn't the right time as we consider our hearts. Secondly, we'll look at the question that the Lord presents to them and to us. Isn't it the right time when He calls us to consider our ways? And thirdly, we will conclude with, it is the right time, especially when we consider God's ways. Kingdom work, is it the right time? First of all, then, it isn't the right time. This is what the people of Judah were saying in the day of Haggai. Now, it comes in a context, doesn't it? Haggai is sent by the Lord to the inhabitants of Judah, and these inhabitants of Judah had been exiled into the Babylonian captivity. We know that in 586 BC, Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. The walls of Jerusalem were destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And all the inhabitants of Judah were taken into exile. And the land became a wasteland. 50 years later, in 536 BC, there was the Edict of Restoration after King Cyrus conquered the Babylonian Empire and established the Persian Empire. And he pronounced this Edict of Restoration so that the people could go back to their homelands and dwell in their own countries and rebuild what they had before. And a large percentage of those who returned unto Jerusalem, even though it was a small percentage of those who went into exile, but a large percentage of those who did return were those who were involved in the worship. One out of approximately eight people were either priests, Levites, gatekeepers of the temple, singers, and temple servants. You can read about this in Ezra 2. But you can also read in Ezra 3 and parts of Nehemiah and the challenges that lay ahead of those who were filled with this zeal and this ambition to rebuild the house of the Lord. And in Ezra 4, we see they became so frustrated, they stopped building the temple. And certainly their frustrations were understandable. They were fueled by the hostility of their neighbors who were also returning to their land, and they were plundering their land. They would try to grow something, but it would all be taken away. Many times you would think, you know, you come back and 50 years later, the farmlands must have been a wasteland, and where there were vineyards, or now they were just out overgrown and a mess, and there were weeds everywhere. And how were you going to till this land as so many wild trees and vines have grown? And it resulted in poor crops and poor economic conditions, many, many frustrations for the inhabitants of Judah. They were filled with zeal, but now they were forced to, in a certain sense, stop their work. They had such great expectations, but when reality set in, they faltered and they grew impatient. And in the time that they grew impatient, other priorities took root in their hearts and in their lives. And certainly those priorities included building their own homes and building their own empires. And here Haggai comes in Haggai chapter 1 in 520 BC. If you do the math, that's 16 years after they had been released from exile. It's not a year or two or five, 16 years. And God's house still lies in waste. And they weren't rebuilding the temple. And they were still giving the excuse that it's just not the right time. And God, by His Spirit and through His prophet Haggai, exposes their priorities were not in the right order. But maybe it's coming today to us as well, asking us, maybe even saying to us, your priorities aren't in the right order. Now we need to remember what it meant in the Old Testament context and the importance of rebuilding the temple. In Jerusalem, in the temple, is where God dwelt among His people. It's where God dwelt to show His glory to the nations and to be with His people in Jerusalem. And so there was a lot of spiritual significance to building this temple, because this was God's dwelling place among His people. Now we look to 2023 and we are not called to necessarily build one stone upon another stone or one frame upon another frame and make sure that we have sealed churches and places of worship. That's not what God is calling us to. There's a beautiful church building here at Maranatha, one of the most beautiful in town, from my estimation. But let us never forget that the building itself is not the kingdom of God. It is not the Old Testament temple. It's wonderful to be able to reflect what worship is in the house of God. There's nothing wrong with that. But that's not what God is calling us to in 2023. He's calling us in the New Testament era to recognize that His church is His people. And God dwells in His people by His Holy Spirit. And His kingdom is built up among people and through people. And this is what God is reminding us of. Most Christians do not worship in a church building, if you think about it worldwide. But they gather together as people. maybe renting facilities, maybe even in fields and homes and wherever they can gather together as the people of God. That's church, and that's what kingdom work is all about. We need to recognize that as we apply this to our lives today. What is kingdom work? What does it mean to seek first the kingdom of God? It's really easy to get people fired up to build a new church building. But is it easy to get people fired up for the souls and the hearts and the minds of those in our community, in our own church, and throughout the world? That's what we need to ask ourselves today. And we need to ask ourselves, is that our number one priority in life? Is to be part of God's kingdom, to be engaged in God's kingdom. Ought we to consider our ways? Ought we to consider how we wake up in the morning? Because it applies not only to Sunday, but to every aspect and every moment of our life. When we wake up in the morning, do we give thanks to God for the beautiful day that He's given us? And as we swing out of our beds and our feet hit the ground, do we say, Lord, this is a day that Thou hast made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And how, Lord, can I serve You today? In Thy kingdom. Lord, would it be that Thy kingdom would come in my heart and in my life, that I would know Thee better and seek to grow in grace and in knowledge of who Thou art, and that that would all be applied to how I diligently serve in Thy kingdom, wherever Thou art calling. But also on Sunday, as we gather together as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to encourage one another, to exhort one another, even more so, as we read in Hebrews, as the day is approaching, to have true fellowship together, true sharpening of one another, true engagement in spiritual conversation, and spiritual exercise and engagement. This is kingdom work. Kingdom work to instruct our children. Why Sunday school, catechism, daily in school, evangelizing in our neighborhoods, mission work. The list could go on and on. Are we saying, this is the right time, let's get going and do it? Or are we sometimes saying, well, it's just not the right time? After all, Pastor, what you're asking of me is a lot. No, remember, I'm not asking of anything of you. I'm just simply saying this is what God's Word is asking of us. But you say then, well, I'm sure God understands how busy I am. Maybe as a young person you say, well, what do I have to offer? As a young child even, I don't have those gifts to be able to talk to others. Young children, you have more of a gift than most anyone else here. I see it and hear of it sometimes in the grocery line at Zares or Costco or wherever. And little children will ask the cashier, do you know Jesus? It's a little bit harder once you get a little older to say that and ask that question. Children, you have a beautiful opportunity. And even in Scripture, isn't it true that John the Baptist himself leapt in the womb at the name of Jesus? Wasn't it Samuel who was dedicated to the house of God and heard the voice of God and wanted to discern what God was telling him? So he goes to Eli. And God doesn't use children. God doesn't use a little girl who ministers and speaks of the God of Israel to Naaman the Syrian. God uses children. Kingdom work is for children. And older children. But you say, well, I have to get my education. I'm so busy. School has so many requirements that I have to get this done and that done and prepare for that exam and that exam. Yeah. I get it. I've been there. After all, Pastor, you know, houses don't grow on trees and money doesn't grow on trees today. And if I don't get a good education, I don't have a good job. And how am I going to provide for a family? And how am I going to ever even get married and buy a house, especially in today's market? I'm so busy. I don't have time for all of what you're talking about. I don't even have time to begin my day in prayer and in Scripture. And then you thought you were busy when you were a teenager. And then you married and have kids of your own. You've never been so busy in all your life. It's just not the right time today. Come back at a more convenient time and talk to me about this. And then soon you have grandchildren and you have even more responsibilities, more cares. And then suddenly your hair becomes white and you grow aged. And you say, oh, I should have done that when I was younger because now I don't identify with the young people and I don't identify with people in society and it's just not the right time. It's not the right time. Because of our misplaced priorities. When our priorities aren't aligned properly, it's always the wrong time. But when our priorities are properly aligned and our hearts are seeking first the kingdom of God, it's the right time. Consider your heart. Are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? God further exposes his misplaced priorities of Judah as we see God asking them, in our second point, a rhetorical question saying, isn't it the right time? It says in verse 4, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses or paneled houses? Houses that have ceilings, houses that have walls, they're all luxurious. And this house, my temple, it lies waste in ruins. You're dwelling in your luxurious houses. And my house is in ruins. I can assure you this house here isn't in ruins. It's a beautiful house of worship. Your houses are certainly, from what I know of most of you, even my own, is not in ruins. It's luxurious. But that's not the question. The question isn't it the right time when this house here, this house of worship, Our houses are luxurious, and God's true temple of his people are in ruins. That's what he's asking. He says, I want you to consider not only your heart, but your ways, your customs. I want you to consider what you do with your life. What habits you have. What things are naturally your priorities. Because anything that is a priority above God and his kingdom, the kingdom of his Son, is a misplaced priority, and it's idolatry. Idolatry. God doesn't condemn anyone for living in a nice home or having a nice home of worship at all. But what he's condemning here is when those things take priority over God's kingdom. And thanks be to God that he raises up prophets and brings us even his word today to remind us of this, to open our eyes by his Holy Spirit so that we would consider our misplaced priorities. And that we would do more as we consider our ways, that even in our ways we would consider whether we're fruitful or unfruitful. Isn't that what he's saying in verse 6? He says, consider your ways, Judah. Ye have sown much, and ye bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye have not, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag of holes. He's saying, even though you're working hard, even though you're planting and providing for yourself and your families, you're never satisfied. You never have enough. After tilling the land and planting so much seed, you end up with a small harvest. And even though you have eaten food to eat and things to drink, you're never filled. You're never satisfied. You always want more because your priorities are misplaced. You're putting all of the emphasis on material things and physical things that are lusted after, that our hearts are filled with greed. And we just want more, and we want more because we're never content with what we have. And so everything we're seeking after and seeking to find fulfillment in just comes to absolute nothing. Even the very wages that we have, we accumulate them and try to accumulate them, and it's like being put into a bag with a hole in the bottom. It's just gone. Children, you have those, in my day anyway, they're called little piggy banks. Look like a little pig. And they had a little rubber stopper in the bottom. I don't know if you even have those today anymore now that everything goes electronic and e-transfers and everything else. But my day, we would save the pennies and the nickels and the dimes and the quarters. And in the U.S., we didn't have loonies and toonies, but here you've got loonies and toonies and everything in Canada. And you put those into your piggy bank. If you didn't have that rubber stopper in the bottom, it would just fall right out the bottom. This is the picture of what's happening. Judah. Keep trying to save money and save and get ahead and have a little extra. And it's always gone. It's just running right out the bottom. Maybe that sounds familiar in your own life. You work hard. You're working harder, putting extra time in. And there's just so much month left after the money. You can't get ahead. Maybe even going backwards. Or maybe you thought you had your retirement almost planned out and figured out, and you had some what you thought were good investments, and all of a sudden, the stock market crashes, like in 2020. And suddenly you're left with little. Or you develop one disease or another, and all of a sudden medical bills, and you can't work, and all your security, it's gone. This is what's happening to Judah. They just can't get ahead. They're fruitless. And God says, I want you to consider your fruitlessness for a moment. You looked for much, he says in verse 9, and it came to little. You brought it home, but God is saying, it's no coincidence that it's gone. Because I blew upon it and I caused it to go away. I said, I'm the instrument in it being gone. The word there for blowing it away, it's like I gave a fire that would just consume it and devour it so that you couldn't enjoy it. Because I wanted to talk to you and speak to you through this. I'll never forget on the farm, when my years of farming with my brother, I think we became a little boastful one year. We had a crop in the field that we had never experienced before, and it was a huge corn crop. And we thought to ourselves, we need to make sure that our silo is good, and we're going to fill that silo up with high moisture corn so that we would have corn to feed our cows for 2 or more years. And so we made sure that we had someone come to inspect the silo and make sure the silo was all in good operating order, because to preserve high moisture corn, it has to ferment. But it can't keep fermenting because then it burns up. And so you want to make sure that no oxygen can get at this corn. So we thought we had the silo all prepared. We bring in the harvest. We fill the silo, maybe 18,000 or more bushel of corn. And about that same time, a hailstorm came through. And we had our crop up, praise the Lord, right? But that hailstorm put all little holes in the ceiling of the silo. And certainly, the next few weeks, that corn's going to ferment and it's going to get hot. And we thought, this is normal. But when January came and it was still getting hotter, we realized we had a real problem. And it's as if this silo didn't start on fire, but the heat of that fermenting corn devours the nutrients that are in that corn, and it's really just empty kernels at the end of the day. And so we had to feed it as fast as we could, sell it to neighbors as fast as we could, in order that they could feed it to their cattle, and so that it would be gone before it was completely devoured. And God was speaking to us to not put our trust in material things. We didn't realize what happened until we got the silo empty. And we looked up in that silo and we could see all of those little pinholes through God's providence of a little hailstorm coming over. The security we thought we had for years was gone. Maybe that's happened in your own life. And we need to stop and take heart and consider our fruitlessness at times. Not because we believe in the prosperity gospel or the health and wealth gospel, that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're active in kingdom work and we're giving to God's kingdom, that God will multiply us with blessing after blessing. That's not at all what this is all about. That's not at all what Jesus is saying. Seek first the kingdom of God and I'll add all of these things to you. No, he's simply saying these are real blessings, and especially in New Testament context, that they are many times spiritual blessings and future blessings, not even necessarily physical blessings. sometimes there is blessedness that goes along with following the Lord in a spiritual way. But that doesn't necessarily have an equal sign. However, God's curse and God's punishment in an Old Testament context was very clear. You can read it throughout the law. That if you obey my voice, I will bless you in the land that I'm giving you. And if you disobey my voice and break my covenant, I will withhold the rain. I will cause a drought and I will cause you to be fruitless. And this was what Israel was called to wake up. Consider your fruitlessness. But we too today are called to wake up and consider whether we're fruitful or unfruitful in spiritual things. Is God's work evident among us? Are we seeing new converts? Are we seeing our children and our middle-aged people and all aspects of life growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Christians that are filled with zeal and passion to be salt and light in this world, to bring the gospel to our neighbors? Are we seeing the fruit of God's regenerating work and His Spirit sanctifying us? Consider your fruitfulness or fruitlessness. That's what God is asking us today. Is it not time to get to work? God says, it is time. That's what we see in our third point. Notice verse 8. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. 16 years have passed already. The right time is now, says the Lord. No more excuses. It's time to get to work. It's time. Again, it's not time to go get the wood and start building another church or anything like that. It's time to be truly involved in kingdom work. Why, we might ask? The Lord gives the reason, the greatest reason. I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. There's no greater purpose in life than to live our lives in God's kingdom to the glory and honor of Him, the one who has created us, the one who recreates us, to serve Him and to glorify Him forever. There's no greater joy for one who has been purchased with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, filled with His Spirit, than to serve God in His kingdom. I always tell people I think I've had two of the best occupations in the whole world. One is a farmer. To be able to serve others, bring in the crops, and so that others might have food. But that came with such dependence on God. You plant the seed in the soil. Yes, you do all of the work getting the soil just right. But you know, when you plant that seed in the soil, you cannot make one of those seeds germinate. You can't, unless you have irrigation, you can't give it water. You can't cause the sun to shine on it. You can't cause the growing season to have just the right ideals so that the crop may grow and bear forth fruit. That's all from God, a life in dependence on God. But that's really not just for a farmer. That's for anyone. I remember when I was in Lacombe, I visited a baker. He started a gluten-free bakery. And a very spiritual man. I really enjoyed getting to know him. And I sat down with him one day to have coffee in his shop as they had just opened it. And he said, "Pastor, I said, starting this business, I'm just recognizing I'm so dependent on God. Every morning I come in and he showed me the room that he would kneel down and bend his knees and pray, God, just bring people in that I might be able to serve them with the goods that I have provided for them." But he knew he was dependent upon God to bring them in. And so he would pray. And he says, after someone leaves, I go back to that room and I bend my knees again and thank God for bringing them in, that I might serve them, that I might serve God through it. See, all of our occupations aren't so much different than being a pastor. As a matter of fact, that is one of the best jobs in all of the world, to be able to bring the seed of God's word, the food for the children of God, to be able to bring them the riches of the gospel, to have entrusted in us earthen vessels the power of God unto salvation, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But even though you may not be an ordained minister of the gospel, every true Christian anointed with the Holy Spirit is a true pastor. And if that's you, you have within you an earthen vessel, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that God's glory might shine in this world. It's not just through Jerusalem anymore. It's through His people. And God says, today is the day. It is the time to get to work in my kingdom, because I'm taking you and anointed you to be a tool in my hand, to let my glory shine to the world. That's what God is calling us to, as His people. Is that you? Do you see the beauty of what it's called to be a Christian? Anointed, prophet, priest, and king. As a witness of Christ in this world, to be salt and light to His glory. And to take that as a husband and so pastor and care for your wives and for your families, for your children. The most precious people that have been entrusted to you as fathers and husbands, or as parents. Mothers, you have one of the most beautiful jobs in all of the world. As a Christian mother, to raise your children in the fear of the Lord, to bring them daily to the Lord Jesus, to mold and to shape their hearts according to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Daily having influence in their lives. Is mathematics a priority over the gospel? Is the English class and all the homework that comes home from school a priority over the gospel? No, it's time in our families It's time in our church. Not everyone is saved. They're sitting here probably. I don't know what your hearts are. But does it really matter? Do you have to worry about whether someone's saved or someone's not saved before you bring them the gospel? And to encourage them with the gospel? You just simply bring them and speak well of the one who has purchased you and saved you from your sins and encourage one another and direct them also to the Lord Jesus. What a blessing it is to gather in church. You know, that's one of the most beautiful things we can do together is to gather together. It's hard when a congregation realizes, you know, we have members who aren't with us or aren't gathering regularly with us. We ask ourselves, where are they? And that's why it's good, even if you go somewhere, just let your elder know. Hey, we're going to be here and we're going to be there. Pray for us this week. And what an encouragement we have toward one another in the church. As we care for one another, the sick among us, praying for one another. What about our school praying for our teachers and students? Daily they may hear the truths of mathematics and everything else and in their education, but in a God-centered, Christ-centered way. God would be building his kingdom. That we would not neglect our communities, but that we would share the gospel with those who we come into contact with. That the world might know we aren't just a group of people that gather within these walls on Sunday, but that we are truly those who have been purchased and now are going out with this good news into our communities. I don't know what your neighbors down the street would say if we went and knocked on each door. And they came to the door and we asked, what do you know about that church down the street? Maranatha, Free Reform. How many of them know who you are? I'm asking myself the same question, just in the context of St. George. Do your neighbors know the hope that lies within you? When's the last time you or I shared the gospel with someone? See, God says it's the right time. Because it's not about you. It's not about how good you can bring the gospel. It's not about whether you even have all the right words to speak. But it's the right time. Because I am the one who builds my church. And my church, even though it's not dependent upon you, is being built through the power of the gospel and the light shines through my people. That's why God is saying it's the right time. Notice this in our passage. In verse 12, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, they obeyed the voice of their God and the words of Haggai the prophet as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. You see, when we come in awe before God and the power of his word and the power of his gospel, then what happens? God comes to us and he sends this message to us. And he says, I am with you. You see, when you go and follow the great commission that Christ has given to us, going into all the world, bringing this glorious gospel truth, he says, I am with you. Even as Jesus says there at the end of Matthew 28, I am with you even to the end of the age. What an encouragement. And because of this encouragement, God stirs up the hearts. You see, it's all about what God is doing. He stirs up the spirit of Zerubbabel and the son of Shealtiel and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. He stirs them up because it is God's time. Do you dare to say it's not God's time? He who is king of his kingdom says it's the right time. He doesn't want your leftover time, your leftover gifts, your leftover resources. He wants your first fruits, your best time. The CRA doesn't ask what you have at the end of the year, right? They take it right away. It doesn't even show up in your paycheck. You get your first fruits. Does God get the first fruits as King of Kings and Lord of Lords of your gifts, of your talents, of your time? God says it's time. And there's no greater blessing in the world than to know that God is with you through it, stirring up your spirit in it, and then one day, that last day, or on your last day, when you're welcomed into his kingdom, as he says, come, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Is it the right time?